Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Northern Business Podcast. I'm Josh Haberkin.
And I'm Jamie Collis. Welcome to the Net Zero Supply Chain Exhibition and Conference. Run that sting. Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast, a regular discussion with people from the north of England who lead businesses, contribute to the economy and come up with innovative solutions. Northern Business Podcast is produced by Recognition PR, which serves scores of companies in different sectors across the country, and some of which have featured on this podcast.
Of course, we are kindly sponsored by Virtue Motors PLC, one of the top automotive retailers in the UK with a huge network of dealerships representing some of the most successful and popular manufacturers. But it's also commercial vehicles as well. Check out Vans Direct if you have a moment.
Very good. Thanks to Virtue Motors, our sponsor. And remember, Northern Business Podcast is available on all good podcast platforms. That's audio and video, so you can watch it on YouTube, watch us on LinkedIn, and listen to us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. As we said at the top of the podcast, we're in a different location today. We're at the NOF Conference, which is the Supply Chain Conference for Net Zero, here at Hardwick Hall Hotel. And we're going to be speaking to people from all sorts of parts of the Net Zero agenda, aren't we?
We are. It's not just energy, as you'll find out. We're also speaking to people who are involved in helping make those connections for different industries, different sectors, so they can contribute towards the path towards net zero.
And to start things off, I'm going to be speaking to Paul Livingston from NOF. Hi, Paul. It's great to have you here. Before we get into what's going on over these 2 days at the Net Zero Supply Chain Exhibition Conference, for those that don't know, tell us about NOF. What is NOF? What does it do for the companies it works with?
Yeah, so NOF's a membership body, not-for-profit membership body, operating throughout the energy sector. We've trading with 35 years, working across oil and gas, nuclear, offshore wind, carbon capture and storage and hydrogen sectors.
So what sort of work do you do to help companies to you know, be part of that energy sector?
Yeah, so NOF's main focus is to help our member companies with business development, support, in reductions, networking and events, giving them a chance to profile their products and services to companies right across the energy supply chain.
So it's really important then for those companies to be able to build those relationships, because that's how you create a network and create a chain for a supply chain, I suppose, of doing that and delivering these type of products. Why is it important for NOF to be involved in helping companies achieve that, and particularly in, you know, like an energy mix, a balanced energy mix, and, you know, and achieving net zero?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is to identify where those opportunities are and then give those messages to our members and in the wider supply chain. But then also get the companies that are working on these projects across the net zero industry in front of our members, so they can network. So the companies, the operators, developers, T1 contractors, they can deliver their messages about projects, timelines and what they need from the supply chain. That's the benefit to those size companies. From a member's perspective, it's really understanding where they might fit into those sectors, what they might need to tweak business model wise to take advantage of getting opportunities in those sectors and win business.
So tell us a bit about this big conference exhibition. This is a bit of a showcase event for NOF, because you've been driving that agenda for many years. Yeah. I mean, as an organisation that was rooted in oil and gas, you were at the forefront of offshore wind, now forefront of hydrogen, carbon capture and storage to help companies work in that. So how does that bring that all together for an event like this? What's happening while we're here?
I mean, we were running events like this years ago, when I first joined, maybe 15 years ago. So, you know, we had an event called Energy of Balanced Future, and the message of that was companies should be looking to diversify, and the UK shouldn't be reliant on one energy mix, oil and gas per se. So what we've said is, delivering this event, it's really sort of, giving that diversification message, making sure that, members are well positioned to take advantage of the energy transition space. This event, over the next couple of days, northeast of England's really leading on the energy transition. If you look what's happening in the northeast of England, we really have, the projects here, the excitement's building, the actual messages coming out of the region about companies wanting to do business here from an investment perspective. Companies now ringing NOF to say, how do we get active in the northeast of England, as opposed to maybe 15 years ago when they were ringing me to say, how do we get into Aberdeen and Scotland, Paul? It's a energy transition net zero hub, the northeast of England, and it will continue to be for years to come. So what this event's about is really sort of highlighting the region, but not just the activity in the northeast of England, but wider UK, You know, we do events across the UK focusing on energy transition and net zero as well. I think it's because the light's really shone on the northeast of England, and we've got a good supply chain here that's supported energy projects over the last 35 years.
That's fantastic, Paul. I mean, we're going to be speaking to, in this episode, businesses that are based here and that are serving here and coming into this area. So we'll see where that narrative continues from them. Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us today, and have a great couple of days here at the event.
No problem at all. Yeah, thank you.
So we're now joined by Mark Crusis from Eastgate Engineering. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know about Eastgate Engineering, do you want to give a little bit of an overview of the company?
Yeah, we're an electrical and instrumentation engineering company based in Teesside, but we'll operate nationally. We're a fairly new company. We were only founded in 2016, but we've grew at a fast rate. Now we're up to 220 employees. And we're operating a few major projects around the UK, but majority in Teesside.
So when you say engineering, that's a huge range. Obviously, we're at the NOF conference today. What are some of the kind of engineering projects or industries that you work in?
We're working traditionally from oil and gas, but now as a lot of them and clients are sort of transitioning into net zero, we're sort of helping enable them. So some of the projects we're involved with at the moment is Dogger Bank, the largest offshore wind farm. Mm-hmm. We're doing the pre-assembly work at Able Dockyard. So that's 277 turbines, a total of 3.6 gigawatts. And that's a project which is hopefully going to be completed by 2026.
Now, I know that I was in the conference hall earlier listening to some of the people speaking. Carbon capture is a bit of a hot topic at this conference. Now, I know that it's a project that you're looking to get involved in a little bit more, carbon capture as a potential new stream for the business. I'm not sure that everyone understands what it is, so I wondered whether you could maybe give us a very brief explanation of how carbon capture works and what the benefits of it.
I think probably the best way to do it as a quick overview is when we sort of, if we were burning sort of gas, as we do in a lot of our traditional power stations, the CO2 we're just emitting up into the air. With carbon capture, we'll capture that, we'll refine that CO2, and we'll look to transport it into sort of disused wells in the North Sea. So in a way, we're just sort of taking out the sort of bad after effects of creating power and transporting it to the North Sea, where it can be stored for thousands of years, I believe.
So those hydrocarbons are coming from the North Sea in the form of oil and gas. They're being used, and then they're being returned back, in essence, really, to the spaces that they came from originally.
In a way, we're recycling them old wells that we've, well, got our usage for many years. We're just reusing them to store probably stuff, CO2, which we'll be able to recycle in years to come. But we'll wait and see.
It sounds like an interesting project. I know it's one that is a hot topic here at this conference, and it's a brilliant growth opportunity for the north of England, especially on that eastern coastline there. So thank you very much for that, Mark. You're going to go back into the conference now. Is there anything that you're hoping to really get out of this today, just to wrap up?
I think personally is to see what we've expanded on. There's been, for a number of years, we've seen these conferences, there's been a lot of talk, but now we can finally see some light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully we're going to get FID for NZT in Teesside, and that'll be a knock-on effect for all the sort of large end users to sort of look to get their infrastructure in place so that we can use this pipeline to export the CO2 under the North Sea.
Excellent. Well, I'll let you get back to the conference. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Joining us now, I've got Simon Turner from ASCO with me. Simon, welcome to the podcast. Before we go any further, ASCO, what do you do? Tell us about the business.
Yeah, okay, thank you. ASCO is a materials management and logistics company, headquartered up in Aberdeen, but we've also got facilities in Peterhead and in Great Yarmouth. I'm the general manager for Southern UK, and we're here today really to promote the ASCO brand and to also contribute to North. We've been members for a couple of years now, and we'd really like to contribute more to them. And we've recently won a contract at the Teesworks facility in Middlesbrough, operating the quayside there and supporting the new facility that's being built by Sea Wind, and that's the monopile factory.
So that's really important to say that. So you're a business from outside of the north of England coming in here, bit of inward investment to develop that. So before we go into details of how that's going to benefit the economy here, tell us about what's the contract for looking after this quayside at Teesworks?
Yeah, so dominating the landscape now of the old facility where the Boss plant was will be the Sea factory, building monopiles for the wind farms of the future. And we're going to be managing the quayside there. It's currently 450 metres in length, deep water for some of these specialist vessels that are going to be coming alongside and bringing in materials and also looking at assembling these wind farms out in the North Sea. We are going to be managing the quayside with scheduling, with planning, with coordination, and working with all the other specialist supply chain contractors that will be working in and around the facility as it starts to develop and start bringing in some of these projects that are coming to the fore now.
I'm assuming you haven't just helicoptered in and helicoptered all your workforce in. You're going to be part of the Northeast supply
Absolutely,
chain?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're no strangers to the region. I've been with ASCO 18 years. First day on the job was up at the CATS terminal, just in Hartlepool there. And so one of our mandates is to recruit locally, to bring the guys and the girls that will be working for us up to speed with some of our specialist competencies in terms of managing quite hazardous environments on the quayside with some of these heavy lifts that will be going on as well. So we've started work back in May. We've recruited our senior management team now. We've brought on our second stream of the shift. The second shift is now in place, or will be in place by the end of October. And we're expecting our first consignment of steel to arrive between now and mid-November, coming in from Ørsted, actually, as part of the Hornsea 3 potential project coming on.
Fantastic. And as well as obviously recruiting local people, you're now part of that supply chain, so you're working with local companies as well, local companies that you'll be bringing into the game as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're here, we want to be part of the community. We want to be building not just in terms of our quayside services, but we've got quite a portfolio of specialist services ourselves, whether it be fuel provision or environmental services, waste management, industrial cleaning. We want to be bringing that to the area as well, but also to be engaging with the local supply chain and being part of the community. And we're really engaged. We're bringing in total 65 people by the end of next year, and we're well on track with that. And again, being part of the community, supporting and helping the region to deliver what it's there to do and what its capabilities are.
Brilliant. Simon, thanks for joining us today, and good luck with everything with the project on Teesside.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Our next guest is Jess Bagley. She's from the Tees Valley Combined Authority, where she's the Net Zero Innovation Cluster Coordinator. Quite a job title, Jessie.
It is. It's a bit of a mouthful,
isn't it? So do you want to tell us a little bit about what your role is and what is the Innovation Cluster?
So my role within the Tees Valley and that title is to create relationships and collaboration between companies and research organisations to boost innovation around net zero within the Tees Valley.
So a conference like we're at today with NOF is perfect for you. It's exactly the kind of thing you should be doing.
It's a brilliant setting because it gives me a chance to have conversations with companies that have either embarked on innovation before or have not considered it before. And I can link them together with the companies that we've got here and some of the organisations that are exhibiting.
So when you talk about you helping people to work together and innovate together, what kind of form might that look like?
It can vary in terms of the support that we can give. So it can literally be an introduction. So we've got some great research organisations based in the Tees Valley, such as MPI, CPI, TWI and the Net Zero Centre at Teesside University. So it can be just forming a meeting between a company and them and letting them progress their project on their own once that's done. It can be supporting a company after they've gone through their innovation project. So what does that look like if they need to scale up, find space to work, get linked with an incubator, things like that. Or it can be advice to those that have never thought about innovation before and don't know what their journey looks like. I can then talk them through that and offer them guidance on that.
So when you talk about it's a company that's never thought about being involved in the kind of innovation space for net zero, how wide of a range of the companies do you work with? What can you tell me some of the types?
There's varying companies. We predominantly work with the chemical and process sector. So when we talk about the cluster, we're talking about our industrial cluster that we already have based within the Tees Valley. But I'm open to talking to any company that wants to start that net zero journey, but doesn't necessarily have a solution for that. Some of the projects that we've worked on are things like the Green Lithium project. We supported that through our Launchpad project. We've got some companies like Avgo Biotech, which are looking at food waste in terms of eggshells and feeding that into the pharmaceutical market. We've got a Chestnut Biopolymers company. They're doing looking at how single-use plastics actually could be manufactured differently. When you know they're single-use, how do we then make them biodegradable? So they've looked at sugar cane and how that can be used as an alternative. There's a lot going on that people don't necessarily see.
So it's not just energy like most of the conference here is today with NOF. It's the full gambit of net zero opportunities.
Yeah, it covers everything from materials to chemicals to process to supply, to energy itself. So direct air capture, that kind of side as well.
Wow, very interesting. I'm going to have a chat with you later and find out some more of this stuff. Because when you said chestnut biopolymers, I was thinking, how are they making those out of chestnuts? But I've obviously got the wrong end of the stick. I'll come over and see you afterwards. Is there anybody at this conference, or is there any part of this conference today that you found particularly useful?
I think for me, looking at the nuclear side, so a lot of my focus at the moment has been around the companies I already work with. But the idea of bringing nuclear into the Tees Valley is really interesting. And I'm keen to talk to more people about that and what innovation looks like in that sector, because that's really new to me.
You and me both. I'm going to try and find somebody from the nuclear sector to get them on this podcast in a little while. So thank you very much for coming on, Jesse. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joined now by Chris Hall from LFF Gamel. You're exhibiting here today, and I think you're one of the sponsors as well, aren't you?
Yeah, so we're a registration sponsor for today. Yeah.
Fantastic, getting your name out there.
Exactly.
Tell us what the business does as first. Give us your elevator pitch.
So, LFF Gamel, we're pipe, fittings, flanges supplier. LFF is a group globally, Gamel, UK-based. We've got 5 locations across the country. Teesside is our major stockholding, so which makes events like this today imperative for us sort of to get our name out there.
So, tell us why are you here? Are you involved in the sort of journey to net zero at the moment?
Industry-wise, petrochemical industries, oil and gas, it's a real interesting time, I think, locally. With the energy transition, and to see how Gamel as a company can actually progress and continue to support as we have been doing.
These sort of events are really important, obviously, to get your name out as a business, but also to make those sort of connections. Do you find that this is a good way to build relationships by being out at events like this?
Yeah, 100%. You as soon as you walk in the door, you're sort of starting to meet people. Business cards coming at you, direct, indirect business. It's all useful. It's just building up those connections, which sort of contribute to that networking journey that you're on, really.
And when you're talking to other people in the business, I don't know if you've done this outside of the Northeast, do you tell them what sort of opportunities are happening in the north of England?
100%, yeah. I think when you've got sort of net zero Teesside on the horizon, and there's a company sort of out. Cooperate outside of Teesside as well as in Teesside, it's very interesting for everyone. They're asking you questions. To come to events like this, you're able to pass that information on and hopefully gather their interest and see them at future events.
Fantastic. Chris, thanks. Hope you make some good connections while you're here. Thanks a lot.
No, cheers. Thank you very much.
Joined now by Tom Nightingale from Equinor. Well, Tom, you have lots of hats. So obviously tell us a little bit about what Equinor does in terms of what's happening in the north of England, but why else would you be here at this conference today?
Well, Equinor's a broad energy company, and my role is within the renewables business. But actually, we're the UK's biggest energy provider, and we are in oil and gas, we're in low-carbon solutions, and we're in offshore wind. So lots and lots of different types of activity, which makes a conference like the Net Zero conference really important for us to attend, because we're really trying to support the UK on its energy transition journey.
And as part of that, it's about building a solid supply chain using companies from across the country, including those in the north. But you've been involved in the industry for a number of years. You've appeared on Northern Business Podcast before talking about it. But why is it important to be able to build that strong local supply chain and benefit the economy as well as the net zero agenda?
I think there's so many different reasons, but what we want to do is really engage with all different levels of the supply chain. So some of those tier one suppliers might have a big factory in one specific location, but when you start to work with the tier twos and tier threes, you really find that our offshore wind clusters, for example, are the places where you build up those ecosystems, especially around the ports. So I think having a sort of understanding of the UK wider capabilities, but then the specialities of each region is really important. Obviously, here in the northeast of England, we have our strong industrial heritage and a well-established supply chain already.
And when you talk about Equinor and you talk about the northeast of England, you've got to talk about Dogger Bank. So where is Dogger Bank at the moment in terms of the development and what's coming up next?
So Dogger Bank, we are moved into our operations and maintenance base in the port of Tyne, and we're now waiting for handover of the first phase, Dogger Bank A, which will be completed in the second half of next year, and then hopefully Dogger Bank B a year after and Dogger Bank C. And as we continue to build out the wind farm, the operations team will be taking on more turbines. So at the moment, we've got our new shiny vessels just waiting to get started and the team all prepped for operations. So it's quite an exciting time on the project.
Excellent. Tom, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. It's been a very interesting day at NOF's conference here at Hardwick Hall. Spoken to some very interesting businesses and people.
Yeah, it's been really fascinating to see how the north of England really is the hotbed of activity when it comes to driving the net zero agenda.
And next week, the podcast will be back. But until then, you can subscribe on all the usual podcast platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, and also Amazon, I believe. And of course, you can watch on YouTube and LinkedIn.
That's right. And just a special shout out. Thank you to our producer, Harry Sinclair, and our editor, camera operator, and basically absolute AV genius, Robin Campbell. Thanks very much. And tune in again.